ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 3, chapter number 25, and text number 38. Na karhichit matparaha shantarupe nankshanti na me animishaha ledhi हेति ही येषाम अहम् प्रियः आत्मा सुतः च सखा गुरुः सुहृदः दैवम् इष्टम् न कर्हि चित् मत्परः शान्तरूपे न क्षन्ति नो मे अनिमिषो लेढी सेति येषामहं प्रिय आत्मा सुतश्च सखा गुरुः सुहृदौ दैवमिष्टम् न कर्हि चित् मत्परः शान्तरूपे न क्षन्ति नो मे अनिमिषो लेढि हेति येषामहं प्रिय आत्मा सुतश्च सखा गुरु सुहृदो दैवमिष्टम् न कर्हि चित् मत्पराः शान्तरूपे न क्षन्ति नो मे अनिमिषो लेढि हेति येषामहं प्रियमात्मा सुतश्च सखा गुरु सुहृदौ दैवमिष्टम् न नॉट कर्हिचित् ever mat paraha my devotees shanta rupe o mother nakshanti will lose no not me my animishaha time ledhi destroys hetihi weapon येषाम of whom अहम् I प्रियः dear आत्मा self सुतः son च and सखा friend गुरुः preceptor सुहृदः benefactor दैवम् deity Ishtam, chosen. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord continue, My dear mother, devotees who receive such transcendental opulences are never bereft of them. Neither weapons nor the change of time can destroy such opulences. Because the devotees accept me as their friend, their relative, their son, preceptor, benefactor, and the supreme deity, they cannot be deprived of their possession at any time. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that one may elevate himself to higher planetary systems, even up to Brahmaloka, by the dint of pious activities. But when the effects of such pious activities are finished, one again come back to this earth to begin a new life of activities. Thus, even though one is promoted to the higher planetary systems for enjoyment and a long duration of time, still that is not a permanent settlement. But as far as devotees are concerned, their assets, the achievement of devotional service and the consequence of opulence of Vaikuntha, even on this planet, are never destroyed. In this verse, Kapil Dev addresses his mother as Shantarupa, indicating that the opulence of the devotees are fixed because devotees are generally fixed in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, which is called Shantarupa. Because it is in the mode of pure goodness, undisturbed by mode of passion and ignorance. Once one is fixed in devotional service of the Lord, his position of transcendental service cannot be destroyed, and the pleasure and the service simply increase unlimitedly. For the devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, there is no influence of time. In the material world, the influence of time destroys everything. But in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, there is no influence of time or of the demigods, because there are no demigods in the Vaikuntha planets. Here our activities are controlled by different demigods. Even if we move our hand and leg, and the action is controlled by the demigods. But in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, there is no influence of the demigods or of time. Therefore, there is no question of destruction. When the time element is present, there is the certainty of destruction. But when there is no time element, past, present or future, then everything is eternal. Therefore, in this verse uses the word na nangshati, indicating that the transcendental opulence will never be destroyed. The reason for freedom from destruction is also described. The devotees accept the Supreme Lord as the most dear personality and the reciprocate with him in different relationship. They accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the dear most friend, the dear most relative, the dear most son, the dear most preceptor, the dear most well-wisher, or the dear most deity. The Lord is eternal, therefore any relationship in which we accept him is also eternal. It is clearly confirmed herein that the relationship cannot be destroyed, and therefore the opulence of those relationships are never destroyed. Every living entity has the propensity to love someone. We can see that if someone has no object of love, he generally directs his love to a pet animal like a cat or a dog. Thus, the eternal propensity for love in all living entities is always searching for a place to reside. From this verse, we can learn that we can love the Supreme Personality of Godhead as our dearest object, as a friend, as son, as preceptor, or as a well-wisher. And there will be no cheating and no end to such love. We shall eternally enjoy the relationship with the Supreme Lord in different aspects. A special feature of this verse is acceptance of the Lord as Supreme Preceptor. Bhagavad Gita was spoken directly by the Supreme Lord, and Arjuna accepted Krishna as Guru or the spiritual master. Similarly, we should accept only Krishna as the supreme spiritual master. Krishna, of course, means Krishna and his confidential devotees. Krishna is not alone. When we speak of Krishna, Krishna means Krishna in his name, in his form, in his qualities, in his abode and his associates. Krishna is never alone, for the devotees of Krishna are not impersonalist. For example, a king is always associated with his secretary, his commander, his servant, and so much paraphernalia. As soon as we accept Krishna and his associates as our preceptors, no ill effect can destroy our knowledge. In the material world, the knowledge which we require may change because of the influence of time. But nevertheless, the conclusions received from Bhagavad Gita directly from the speeches of the Supreme Lord Krishna can never change. There is no use interpreting Bhagavad Gita. It is eternal. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, should be accepted as one's best friend. He will never cheat. He will always give his friendly advice and friendly protection to the devotees. If Krishna is accepted as son, he will never die. Here we have a very loving son or child, but the father and the mother or those who are affectionate towards him always hope, may my son not die. But Krishna actually never will die. Therefore, those who accept Krishna or the Supreme Lord as their son will never be bereft of their son. In many instances, devotees have accepted the deity as a son. In Bengal, there are many such instances, and even after the death of the devotee, the deity performs the Shraddha ceremony for the father. The relationship is never destroyed. People are accustomed to worship different forms of demigods, but in Bhagavad Gita, such a mentality is condemned. Therefore, one should be intelligent enough to worship only the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his different forms such as Lakshmi Narayan, Sitaram, Radha Krishna. Thus, one will never be cheated. By worshipping the demigods, one may elevate himself to the higher planets, but during the dissolution of the material world, the deity and the abode of the deity will be destroyed. But one who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead is promoted to Vaikuntha planets, where there is no influence of time, destruction or annihilation. The conclusion is that the time influence cannot act upon the devotees who have accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead as everything. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshul Militanjena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitansha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। न करहि चित मत पराहा शांत रूपे नक्षन्ति नो मे अनिमिषो लेढ़ी हेति येषामहं प्रिय आत्मा सुतश्च सखा गुरु सुहृदो दैवमिष्टम्। द लॉर्ड कंटिन्यूड, माय डियर मदर, डिवोटीज हु रिसीव सच ट्रांसेंडेंटल ओपुलेंसेस आर नेवर बेरेफ्ट ऑफ देम। Neither weapons nor the change of time can destroy such opulences, because the devotees accept me as their friend, their relative, their son, preceptor, benefactor, and the supreme deity. They cannot be deprived of their possession at any time. So, what are these opulences? These opulences are told as transcendental opulences. And all the devotees possess the transcendental opulences. And Kapil Dev is telling, rest assured that these opulences will never be destroyed. You may call opulences as your permanent assets. Krishna talks of these opulences, transcendental opulences, in Bhagavad Gita. And they are permanent asset. Anybody? What are these opulences? Opulences are those which come on their own accord, without our desiring. Have you got anything that came without your desire? You may say, my husband. Okay. But that is also true when he becomes a devotee. Because before the marriage, nobody knows. Generally, nobody knows. But the desire comes afterwards. That should be the methodology. I think that's why this is the only reason, you know, in Vedic times, the girls were getting married as soon as they come in their age. Anyway, hoping for the best. This is Kali Yuga. But we need to know what are the transcendental opulences. And in previous verse, that it is said that he does not desire 8 material perfections obtained from mystic yoga, nor does he desire to be elevated to the kingdom of God. Yet, even without desiring them, devotees enjoys, even in this life, all offered benedictions. And devotee consciousness, yam labdva cha param na labam manyate nadhikam tatah. There is no greater gain, means opulences, other than the yayatma suprasidati, the satisfaction of being a devotee. Satisfaction is also the greatest opulence. And you can purchase it. The very first verse is to put us on that transcendental platform. Savai punsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. Prasannata. Can you see prasannata as long as, I mean, if you just walk out of the temple, will you be prasanna? No. It's difficult. You know, you will always remember the temple, the deity, because you have established relationships And the formality to establish a relationship is what we call Brahma Sambandha or initiation. So this is pretty important point, that we are encouraged to receive these opulences. These opulences are also Krishna's internal potencies which are bestowed in us. Paurusham Nrishu. And man, and the Paurusham means the vigor. Alright? While in the ladies, Sri, Kirti Sri Vaksha Narinam Dhati Medha Dhati Shukshamaha. These are the opulences. And Krishna claims that they are His. I'm already invested myself in men this way, in women this way. And they will be ever protected for devotees, because devotees are following four regulative principles and all the different methodologies to keep them intact. They will never become swayed. They will never misuse the opulences. They will never abuse it. So in this way, the ideal household will become Vaikuntha. Even we may not realize, but these opulences are everlasting. And it gives opportunity for the devotee to always remain straight. Straight means following four regulative principles. If somebody drinks, do you call him straight? No. He will express that I violated and I was not straight. They want to tell in a very soft terminology that nobody can chastise him. Oh, Prabhu, I was not straight other day. Please forgive me. Okay, don't worry. So like that. So, these opulences are there. And can you imagine when all the 33 crores of devatas are residing in your body to perform all the functionalities of different parts of the body? They are in charge. The other day we were speaking, and when we came to the farm, the same topic was there. In the body of a cow, all the demigods reside. So why not in ours? But have you ever felt? But as guilt-free life a cow lives, man does not live. Guilt-free means no offenses. A cow doesn't have anything to, be punished for any guilt. Guileless behavior. So, because in such a behavior, such a reciprocation the cow gives, even a buffalo cannot give. If buffaloes come, go to India, and buffaloes come, they say, get out, and they won't listen. You have to move. But if you say cow, the cow doesn't have to, she will pass through on the side. So you can see a buffalo has a guilt, but a cow doesn't have a guilt. Now, cow, oxen, or a bull, it is not told for the bull. Don't go in front of the bull. The important aspect is that our functionality is not by our own desire. The Lord has arranged the functionality and awarded different demigods to control different parts of the bodies. Oh, in my body only Krishna can reside and no demigods. Then why other living entities are also residing? Why don't you put them where they belong? In our body, bacteria resides. All different types of tissues can reside. So many nasty things also reside in our body. And why not demigods? They are also living entities, but they are all functionary aspects of living. Not a living entity does on its own. Means life is completely controlled by superiors. In order to protect them, Krishna made this function available. So, person has to become sober, introspective, and understand that you can't abuse your body even. How is it that you will abuse somebody else's body? They are demoniac. So, the devotee accumulates this transcendental opulence through understanding more and more. Then, will he not live at the mercy of Krishna? Because he is not the doer. So why he thinks that, I have to do and cultivate a desire? You cannot kill the desire, but you can transform your desire according to Krishna's desire. What's the big deal? That is the art. But if somebody is bereft of this knowledge, then they are unfortunate. What else can you tell? But when we are given opportunity to understand all these aspects, and that what is the gain? Hey, Hare Krishna, what do you do for fun? What do you do for fun? Then we should ask, what do you do for fun? What you do for fun? The same thing in functionality devoted to Krishna, we do the same. Oh, you are alone. Yes, alone also you can enjoy, because you are not alone in your body. You are not alone in your body. There are so many living entities. It is the nature that life cannot exist and independent like the monist or the impersonalist, those who want to merge, because they don't have ideas. And they think, oh, I'm all alone, let me commit suicide. Kaivalyam narakayate. Actually, the person is going to the hellish condition if he contemplates on impersonal. And the destination of such persons is much more dense, darker than those who worship the demigods. Vidyam cha vidyam yastad vedo bhayam saha avidyayam avidyayam mrityun tirtva vidyayam amrutam ashnute. If we get the right kind of knowledge and understanding, that will be only possible if we learn the vidya means the one that liberates us. from the material conception, but simultaneously we are confined in the material body, so we should also understand the difference of it. By studying avidya, it is only for differentiating, and there is nothing wrong, right? But it gives us impetus that what is vidya, what is liberating. That knowledge is given in Bhagavad Gita. So, Deva Guru Prajna Pujanam, in 13th chapter, it is also said that this is knowledge. Deva Guru Prajna Pujanam. We have to worship the devatas. Worship means not individual worship for other desires. If we ask from them, then that is not the opulence. Opulence is coming on its own accord, without desiring. So, all the guidelines that we are not supposed to do work on our own self, thinking everything, that is actually cheating without understanding our real position, that we are dependent. And yet we want to exhibit our desires. A dependent cannot have his own desire. But yet, they come as an obligation on the parent, just like child does not have his own desire develop. But he has desire of the previous life, and therefore he is coming, and the parents have to take care of it, because Krishna gives him another opportunity to fulfill his desire in this life. But before he messes up his life, we want to expose him to Krishna consciousness. So the children are the first recipient, and they will change. They will change their desire to Krishna's desire. So in this way, transcendental opulence derived by following Krishna consciousness, a devotee will not be bereft. He is not the loser. He has permanent assets, and they will go along with it. So, Srila Prabhupada says that all this relationship Kapil Dev is explaining to the mother, they are all taking him to Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha. Because the devotees are eternally fixed in Vaikuntha atmosphere. Vaikuntha atmosphere. This is Vaikuntha atmosphere. If we are situated in Vaikuntha atmosphere, then we will be transported to Vaikuntha. No miseries. So devotional service, which is personal interactions with the Supreme Lord and His devotees. Here it is also said that Supreme Lord is never alone. Never alone. He is very social. But in Vaikuntha he is not social. He is social only up to awe and reverence mood to those devotees. Otherwise, not a... Krishna is differentiated. He is always surrounded by his devotees. And Lakshmi Narayan, they are all alone, you know, private, no mess. Because the living entities who have come to Vaikuntha, they have been awarded the fulfillment of their desire for having all opulences, all beauty, like the Lord Himself. They desired it. So they have to be stuck with awe and reverence. You got it? Now shut up. If you worship, worship silently. No more. You can't show love like a paramour. Lakshmi is there, cover the. You can't do that. So, it is very important that the Vaikuntha atmosphere is easily available to the devotees. All right? But the Vaikuntha atmosphere means transcendental atmosphere will be in Guru Vrindavan too. But it is little different realm where other four relationships are possible. Dasyas, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. Servitorship is there. But you can have own reverence there if you want. The grass and every living entity, they are in own reverence. When Krishna will come and trample me, they wait and wait and wait. But Krishna is also 24 hours dancing and rolling on the ground, 24 hours there. It's not that there is day and night there. Do they have day and night? But even they appear just to participate in Krishna's pastime, not otherwise. Where the time itself is conspicuous by its absence. And Vaikuntha, the spiritual atmosphere, right? So where is the question of destruction? We should be rest assured that if we receive the peace of mind here, why it supersedes than outside atmosphere? And once gaining this, we have to rest assured that it's a permanent asset. We may accumulate further and further, but first we have to be secure. And therefore, we love temple atmosphere where proper execution of devotional service is going on. No controversy. Prabhupada said that here in the material world, our activities are controlled by different demigods. Even if we move our hand and leg, the action is controlled by demigods. Now, how can we realize this? How can we realize? It's coming in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto itself. Maitreya Muni have been questioned by Vidurji about all this. So when the creation begins, creation is a transcendental activity for the Lord, but not for the living entity. Creation is a transcendental activity of the Lord. Sa ikshati sa iman lokan asrujata. Simply by seeing, everything started manifesting. It's a transcendental activity. And we want to study analytically how it is. Okay, Maitreya Muni knows. He's an impersonalist. He will do analytical study for you. So Vidur is going. Vidur have complete faith on Lord Krishna, but yet he is asking for our benefit. Then, first of all, we were atheist. Then we became impersonalist. And we have a lot of doubts and questions. Okay, let me finish the class, then you can ask questions. It is there, going to be there, because our perception is limited. How demigods come into the existence to do this functionality? So, when Maitreya Muni asked, when Vidurji is asking to Maitreya Muni to respond to all this question, he talks very cool and quiet and explains very visibly. He explains when Brahma was created, the first living entity, he was all alone himself. And he was born out of ignorance. He was, even though he was born on the lotus of Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu's, you know, navel, he has a transcendental origin, because both father and mother is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. There was no Lakshmi there. Brahma is not a son of Lakshmi Narayan. Nowhere you will find, you know, Brahma may address Lakshmi as mother. That's a different thing. But they were not the parents. Only Garbhodakshaya Vishnu was both mother as well as father. And Brahma was born in ignorance, because ignorance is the prime covering over the material nature that has to be created. And there was no sun, no light, nothing. And Brahma wanted to know on his own strength. And however, wherever he tried, he failed to know by himself who is he. So out of kindness or compassion to Brahma's efforts, who was doing so much useless prayasas. Prayas means endeavors. There are two kinds of endeavors according to Bhakti Aloka. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, jnana prayas and karma prayas. Jnana prayas, acquisition of knowledge, and try to master the knowledge. You have to work hard, memorize, or cram it somehow or another, try to understand, take the whole time of 1 year, expand it for to learn little things, so you can pass in the example. You know, in examination, if you fail, then all your endeavor is useless. So it's a frustrating thing. You know. So Brahma was not successful even in jnana prayas or karma prayas. He went down in the stem that comes where the lotus is growing. He went down all the way to what they call Neval Lake. And it was so immense, that Brahma could not get there. He came back. He came back defeated. So seeing these efforts, Krishna became very compassionate. So Garbhodakshaya Vishnu gave two words, tapa, tapa. The impersonalist will say, tapa, tapa. Oh, because he was born on the lotus, so some drops were falling twice, tapa, tapa. They want to make some kind of joke out of it. No, tapa, tapa. It's in Sanskrit. It's not the sound of drop of water. And Brahma received this through his 8 ear holes. All right? And he became acquainted. He became acquainted by this transcendental sound vibration with what he did previous day when he woke up. Annihilation is there. How many times annihilation? All the opulences of material nature is finished. So Brahma has to restart. But he has a desire only. He wanted, so he was inquisitive. But at the same time, when he saw, by dint of his realization, when he performed austerity, tapa, for 1,000 celestial years, he was mature enough to see, his eyes opened with the knowledge and understood that Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he saw down. And the very first thing, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu raised his right foot, take shelter. Brahma folded, because this is effulgent personality, and he is telling me his foot. If somebody shows you foot, afraid. Get afraid, he might kick you. You never know. But this is transcendental personality, you must surrender. Alright? So, Brahma and the austerity, he remembered so many prayers that he did before. He started speaking the same thing. And the Lord was pleased. Then he saw how to understand the transcendental form of the Lord. So the Lord showed him his Virat form, the conglomerate of all the material and spiritual potences. That is called Virat Purusha, the Purusha Shukta. And Purusha Shukta describes how the Virat form of the Lord is being assembled, created by the Lord's desire. So Lord can be worshipped. But now, this is humongous, sum total of all the material energy and spiritual energy combining together. So the jivas are constituting the spiritual energy. Alright? Transcendental glance of Lord Vishnu is always there above the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So the further creation by Brahma is possible. So Brahma saw, when the eyes of Virat Purusha is being formed, Agni, the fire god, in many different situations, different names are given, they took the place for functionality of the Virat Rupa. That they are going to see through. The Yachakshuresa Savita Sakalagrahanam Raja Samasta Murti Shashasheta Teja Yasya Gaya Brahmati Samrata Kala Chakra Govindamadi Purushantamam. The sun and moon are working like eyes of the Lord. That is the functionary aspect of the demigods. Sun god, Vivaswan at the present moment. So, when the nose being formed, two Ashwini Kumars entered into the nostril of the Virata Rupa. Ashwini Kumars, they are the twins. For medicinal purpose, they are the celestial demigods, and what they call, they are doctors. Ashwini Kumaras. So they took place for functionality in the nostrils. If Virata Rupa's functionality is being performed by the demigods, and whatever is subsequent creation that Brahma will be putting, why not? They will enter into it. They expand because they are Krishna's limb. They are so powerful, the devatas. So, if we have to worship the demigod who is doing a particular function in our body, that's okay, meditate. Oh, thank you very much that you kept my tummy good. Like that. But we are not alone. A jiva, a tiny jiva, how much can he do? He's so insignificant. Do you think he's moving this hand and walking and running and taking a prize in the match? Do you think he is the doer? A tiny little jeep is not the doer. If he says that, ahankaram vimudhatma kartaram iti manyate. Ahankar is false ego. Why it is false ego? Because they are the doer, me not. So we have to think that once the body is so much valued with the presence of all the important demigods to perform particular functions in our body, once we reach that they are trying to fulfill my desires, we should be obliged. So, there are so many different ways we can express our obligation to the Supreme Lord. And as a corollary, the demigods also to be congratulated and thanked. But you can't thank a demon. Can thank a devotee in the garb of a demon. That's okay. But you cannot thank a demon. They are destroyed. Even though they are Brahma's progeny. What to speak? When the demons were so much hesitating, they were agile. They were saying, oh, Brahma, this is a father. Why he is doing partial? He is giving bodies to the demigods and he neglects us. Huh? Let's eat him. Finish him. Hey, somebody said, don't spare him. So, halla bolo. Before they were born even or got the body, they were doing some destructive. And Brahma said, oh, I'm going to be your father. I'm giving you body. And you have to spare me. Otherwise, how will you get the body? Then they kept quiet. So those who said, desired to kill him, they were called Rakshasas. And those who spared, told that, do not spare him, do not spare him. But they were not the killer, but they were aids. They are called Yakshas. Yakshas are also category of Rakshasa, but they are mild. They are little mild. Otherwise, how can they be also employed in the kingdom of Indra, like Kuber? And you worship Kuber, ain't you? कुबेर की पूजा करें ना? नहीं कर रहे. अरे पैसे कहां से आते हैं? Where did you get the money from? You have to worship Kuber. I know, Sitaradya had a photo of Kuber when he was in Melbourne. I used to stay in a room and he kept a photograph. But when I come, he puts it in the closet. But he had a photograph of Kuber. People worship Kuber. Thank them. Sons of Kuber, Manigreev and Nala Kuber. He's a demigod. Even though having the body of a demon, but he's favorable to demigods. So anyway, we have to cultivate the loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in different ways. And anywhere we can fit, you know, we have to grow in it. Because such eternally, we shall eternally enjoy the relationship with the Supreme Lord in different aspects. In this verse, Prabhupada says that acceptance of the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Preceptor and Bhagavad Gita was spoken directly by the Supreme Lord, and Arjuna accepted Krishna as Guru, the spiritual master. And Krishna is the Jagat Guru for the whole world, showing the spiritual path. When we receive the holy name of Krishna, do you know what we are receiving along with it? The opulence of Lord Krishna, which is transcendental in nature. When we chant Krishna's name, then we also receive his form, his qualities, his entourage, pastimes, paraphernalia, everything. Aren't we rich to receive all these things? And these are the assets that then never get destroyed. It goes along with us. When you think of this transcendental qualities, how many are there? 26. Oh, I didn't have any before. I was such a ruffian. But now I'm getting it. Some at least. But that is a permanent asset. So these are the transcendental opulences that we receive. And they are not going to be destroyed. And did we desire for them? Or they are coming on its their own accord, because simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in this way, we have to estimate how rich we are. In the beginning, our movement was criticized as CIA agent, and these Americans, they have a lot of money. And Prabhupada said, yes, why are you envious of us? Prabhupada would question, why are you? We have the richest father in the whole creation. So we are rich. So like that, we should not be ashamed of such richness. Richness doesn't mean dollars, which is day by day devaluing. What kind of his importance will be? But yet, some practical, at least we can get some boga. So Kapil Dev is rest assuring us that his devotees are never bereft of ever accumulating riches or the opulences. We think only six opulences, right? But how come these are not taken in account before? All power, all beauty, all wealth, all fame, all knowledge, and all renunciation. Physically, materially, it is impossible to acquire all that. But transcendentally, it's easy to acquire. Let the flow come. Let's put up a channel between Krishna and us. Krishna is the reservoir of all the opulences. If we are connected, it's like we can draw unlimited opulence. And it will never be empty, because it is the rightful inheritance. Being a faithful servant of the Lord, we receive this eternal benefit. So, anybody has any question now? Oh my God, we should have sung his bhajan. Narottama dasa koi na theliyo ranga paaye tum bina ke aache amar, right? But Narottama das was so opulent, he acquired all the riches by surrendering to the Supreme. We should always cling to the lotus feet of those devotees who have caught hold very tightly the lotus feet of the Lord. And we will be saved. Narottam Das Thakur ki. Yes. When you got married, you have to go. There is nothing wrong in it to visit our well-wisher, who are the functionary aspects. Right? In that relationship, if you go, there is nothing wrong. But you will not equate or put in front of the Supreme Lord. If those who do not know the system of the demigods, they may not go. You can't pump up such knowledge which may not be instantly convincing to them. Right? But those who are acquainted with the spiritual truths, they may go and respect. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never objected then. A householder sometimes have to beg mercy to get some relief. Even though the devotees know that Krishna is fulfilling, but tiny jiva and the onslaught of maya is too much, can't bear. Sometimes they get frustrated. even with those who are with them, equipped with the transcendental knowledge, they may go Hare Krishna. They may request. Prabhupada said to go to the to Ganesh to remove your obstacles in the path for even chanting process and this and that, and he will remove. He said, you are a devotee. A category of devotee is completely different. Because demigods are also devotees. So once you go and have your god brother having some kind of chit chat, like that. Yes. On their own echo. By performing devotional service, all these transcendent opulence are coming on their own accord. We were not familiar with it. Neither we desired. But they come automatically. That is his, he doesn't want to abuse. Therefore, even though the opulences are coming, he is aware of it. To be aware does not mean it's a guilt. Yeah. To aware, that is, keep the consciousness that yes, they will come. But I'm not going to wait for them. Mukti also comes, other day we study. Who? Prabhudananda Saraswati said, my dear Lord, she is waiting for me. But I don't want, once I caught hold of your lotus feet, I can't engage her. And she is simply waiting to take order from me. I don't want to give any order to her. I will tell her, chant Hare Krishna. Tell them, if you don't draw the line, what will happen to them? Then they will draw the line. We have to educate them. It's part of the education in Krishna consciousness. All right. Thank you very much, Prabhupada ki. Yeah.